Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the power of faith-filled words was recorded at the 2011 Grace and Faith Conference in the UK and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
God answers every person's prayer exactly the same. God doesn't give some people instant healing and other people a gradual healing. Some people receive instant healings and some people receive gradual healings, but it's not because God wills it. There's all kinds of things involved. Some people just can't believe in an instant healing. Your faith is, you just are at a place where you're expecting a gradual healing. You know, I prayed for a little boy one time. I called this out through a gift of the Spirit in Omaha, Nebraska. And I said that somebody's cross-eyed and your eyes are being healed. And a 10-year-old boy came forward. I prayed for him. And I just expected his healing to be gradual. That's what my faith was for. I don't know why. I'm just telling you what happened. And so after I got through praying for him, I was going to tell him, now you stand and believe God and your eyes are straightening up in the name of Jesus. And when I opened my eyes, this guy was so cross-eyed that his mother had to take him by the hand and lead him up there. He couldn't see to walk normal. And when I got through praying, I started to talk to him and I looked at him and his eyes were perfectly straight. Before that, they were completely cross-eyed and they were perfectly straight. And when I saw that, I said, I don't believe it. I'm the one that prayed for him. And I said, I don't believe it. And as soon as I said that, his eyes went back cross-eyed like that. And I said, oh God, I'm sorry. And I said, I'm sorry for speaking forth my unbelief. And I prayed for him again. Never did see his eyes straighten up again. But you know what? There's sometimes it's our own unbelief. We just are so carnal that it's hard for us to believe that a person can instantly be healed. I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying this is where we live. And if it takes a while for you to get into faith, don't worry about it. But don't think that it's God who's causing the healing to take a month or a year or whatever. It's not God. God answered your prayer instantly. It's you that can only receive it by bits and pieces. There's no bad way to receive a healing. Amen. So if it's going to take you a month or a year or whatever, don't feel bad about it. Just get well. If you get it little by little, if you can move the devil a mile if you move him an inch at a time. It may take you a while, but just as long as you're moving in the right direction, don't feel guilty or condemned. Receive it. But recognize that it's not God who just determines that one person gets it instantly and another person it takes a long period of time. It's because of our own hurts, our own problems, our own things that we have. Many of us are full of unforgiveness and bitterness that Satan uses to hinder the healing power of God. It says in James 3:16, it says, where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all of the churches of the Lord. So when it says that there is where envying and strife is, there is confusion, that's saying that there is the devil. You give an open door to the devil through strife and envy and every evil work. You give Satan a tremendous hindrance. So God answers your prayer. He releases his power, but there's things that can delay it because of our unbelief, because of our strife, because of the bitterness that's in our heart and unforgiveness. These things can hinder God. It doesn't stop God from giving, but it may stop you from receiving. I'm convinced that there's lots of people that God gave you your answer to prayer, but you haven't received it. God gave, but you haven't seen it manifest, not because God didn't give, but because you didn't know how to bring it from the spiritual world into the physical world. And that's because we're carnal. We look at it and think, nothing happened. And since we couldn't see anything, we just don't think anything happened. But Jesus spoke to this fig tree. He never touched it. He didn't do anything in the natural. His disciples just, it went on. They didn't see any change. And they went on into Jerusalem. And it says in verse 15 that they come to Jerusalem and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple. and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house should be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the Pharisees heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared the people, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. So this is the second time that Jesus did this. He did it at the very beginning of his ministry, cast all of the money changers out. Here he is 3 years later doing the same thing again and casting the money changers out. This is the second time. And it doesn't say so, but it appears that the way they went into the city when he cursed the fig tree, that they came home the same way. And his disciples didn't make any mention of the fig tree. Apparently, there was no difference in the fig tree even 8 or 10 hours later when they got ready and they came back to Bethany. But then it says in verse 20, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. So this is about 24 hours later. The next day, they go back into the city of Jerusalem the same way. And this time they see the fig tree and it's dead. Now, if you compare this with Matthew's account, I think it's Matthew chapter 21, it records this same instance. In Matthew's account, it says immediately the fig tree withered away. In Mark's account, they walked back by it that evening, and it was the next day that they saw the fig tree withered up. So which was it? Was it immediately or was it the next day? It's both. Immediately, that fig tree was dead. But it says here, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. The fig tree died the moment Jesus spoke it, but it died in the roots. And it's just like if you take a flower and cut it off, that flower will still look like it's alive. But the truth is, the moment it's severed from its root, it's dead. And it is in the process of wilting and dying, and it will shrivel up. And it's dead, but it looks alive for a period of time. When Jesus spoke, that fig tree died instantly, but it was below the surface. They couldn't see what had happened, but it was dead. The moment Jesus spoke, that's what Matthew is recording. Here in Mark's account, it shows that it was the next day before they could see the visible result. And again, this is where so many people miss their answer from God. They pray, and then they open their eyes and look. And if they can't see anything immediately, then they just suppose that God hasn't moved. Because after all, there is no such thing as time or space with God. No limits on God. If God had moved, then they would see the difference. That's not what happened here. That's not what happened in Daniel. That's a wrong assumption. There are things that are going on in the spiritual world behind the scenes. God is a spirit. John 4:24 says God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God moves in the spiritual realm, and then it comes into a physical manifestation. But God moves before you see things happen. And if you're one of those people that just prays and then opens up your eyes, and if you can't see it, then you think nothing happened. You just stopped the process. You keep what God has done in the spiritual realm from manifesting itself in the physical realm. You've got to continue to believe that God is moving when you can't see it or feel it or perceive it by your five senses. And if you can't do that, your faith is the bridge between the spiritual world over into the physical realm. If you can't believe that God has moved when you can't see it, then you take away the bridge. There is no conduit. There is no way for what is in the spiritual world to come into the physical world. Faith is what gives substance to things hoped for and is evidence of things not seen. Faith is your ability to see something and believe that something is happening when there is no carnal proof of it. There's no physical proof of it. Faith is believing what God's Word says. God is telling you what happens. And you have to get to where you believe this more than what you feel in your body, more than what your checkbook tells you, more than what you see with your eyes. That's what the Bible calls faith. And most people, most Christians, cannot do that. They just think that if they can't see it, God hadn't done anything. Well, then you'd never accept this wild story that I'm about to tell you, that right now, did you know that there are television and radio signals in this room? Bunches of them. Dozens of them. And they're loud. And they're bouncing all around in this room. And some of you would say, no, they aren't. Why? Because you can't see them. You can't hear them. But just because you can't see or hear them doesn't mean that they're here. It just means that you aren't very smart. I can tell you that there are radio and television signals in this room right now. And all you have to do to prove it is to take a television set, plug it in, turn it on, tune it in. And when you see the picture is not when the signals come. The signals are already here. The signals are here 24 hours a day. They're going all of the time, but you just can't see them because they're in a different realm. But they do exist. We understand that germs exist. You can't see germs, but you've come to believe that they exist. Now, you can take a microscope and magnify those. But you know what? There are things happening that you can't see, taste, hear, smell, or feel. And we've come to recognize that. That is true in the spiritual world. And just like this fig tree, Jesus cursed it. He didn't do anything in the natural, but he spoke words. He used the power of faith-filled words, and he cursed something and commanded it to die. And the moment he spoke, boom, that thing was dead, but it was in an unseen realm. It was below the surface. But those roots were dead. That plant was dead. It was just a matter of time until what happened below the surface became visible above the surface. And if you could understand this and apply this, it's the same with you.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the power of faith-filled words. This five-part teaching series was recorded at the 2011 Grace and Faith Conference in Buxton, England. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1075 for CD or R3218 for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RD09 titled Words Change the Natural World when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Also, be sure to check out the TV broadcast link to find out about the Gospel Truth TV program in your area.
If the Lord has touched your life through the teaching today, I pray that you would call us and let us know. And also, we have people there that will not only take your orders and get you these materials that we've been offering, but they would pray with you. They can help you. We have some of the most godly people on our phones. Many of them are personal friends of mine, and I mean they are spiritual giants. They're mature people that have seen many, many people help. Most of the people on our helplines minister to more people than most pastors do. I guarantee you, it would be a blessing to you. So the number is 719-635-1111. That's 719-635-1111.